Encouragement and hope, huh? That's powerful. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like praising the Lord. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know. That's we in church and all, but I think that's where we're supposed to praise the Lord at. And that was powerful. Wow. Be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me tonight. We'll talk about using our gifts. As a Christian body, each one of us has something we can give to God. And each gift's equally important. Each gift is necessary for the body to function. And Paul talks about this, how each of us have things we can offer God. We may not even realize it, but we each have something we can give to God. And I want to start out by, first of all, talking about what already is happening now in our church with the different ministries we have. You know, I was thinking about Jeremy, who's just up here in the corner, unnoticed, quiet. Y'all know there's somebody sitting up in the corner, right? Okay. And he's up there faithfully every service, very rarely misses. We had Sunday night. He was here Sunday night as well. And that's a ministry that he serves the Lord in, taking care of our recording, taking care of the volume, taking care of playing the songs, just being there to take care of the mics. And it's appreciated very much. It's a great service to the Lord and to the ministry. You know, we have our Sunday school teachers who teach these kids every Sunday morning, and of course, Randy and as well, and helps on Wednesday nights. That's a ministry. You know, we have our Barbara and Jeannie that clean the church on a weekly basis, comes in and cleans the church, vacuums, mops the floors, takes the trash out. That's a ministry of helps. You know, my mom and Anna have started a seniors ministry, and that takes a lot of work. They put a lot of effort in that. Mom takes a lot of time trying to select things to do. It's fun, and Anna puts time in that devotional she does, and that's a ministry. Along with that, the PowerPoints you see up here every once a month now, Mom does that as well, the PowerPoint showing our announcements, birthdays, all that. Mom puts several hours doing that each month. As well, she's the administrative secretary of the church, does the books and all that. She's just a one-horse wonder there. Does a lot of things. Of course, my wife, you know, with the singing is a ministry, and we just have all kinds of things, even from the ushers that receive the offering on Sunday mornings. It's part of it. You're serving. And for a pastor, that's a big thing of serving. I appreciate that. It really is a ministry. Rodney opening up tonight, sharing what he shared, was being used by God as a ministry, to sow a seed. It doesn't have to be behind a pulpit or holding a microphone to be a ministry. And this is what Paul was talking about, that as a body, each one of us have things we should be using to bless his kingdom and to grow it. So let's start with verse 4 in chapter 12. Now there are diversities of gifts, which means there's variations, there's different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now understand, we're talking about Jesus Christ, of course, not all gods the people serve. Because we know there's other gods people worship that aren't true. But we're talking about if we believe Jesus is Lord. It's one Spirit, one faith, one Lord. And each one, all of these gifts come out of that same Lord, out of that same Spirit. In other words, there's one boss, there's one chief, there's one shepherd, and that is our Lord and Savior. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. So each one of us have something we can offer someone else. We have to understand that once we are saved, once we believe in that gospel message that Jesus died for our sins and rose the third day, and we received him as our Lord, we then are supposed to go and be a blessing to someone else and help sow a seed in someone else's life and share what God's given us. We don't hoard it to ourselves. We give it away. One-on-one, maybe it's your workplace, God opens the door, you're in a checkout line, God speaks to you. Obey that. You don't know. You know, my grandmother, you're very in tune, Grandma, with the Spirit. You're very discernful of what's going on. And God may move on you and Family Dollar right there, a food line one day, just to speak to you clearly, to say, tap that woman on the shoulder and tell her this. Listen to that voice. It may sound foolish, but she's going to think I'm some crazy old woman. You never know. She needs to hear what God has to say to her. And I believe God sends those messengers other people's ways. God has sent on my way through the years to help me. You know, one thing that blessed me, went to Billy Graham Library last Thursday for our senior trip. And y'all may not realize this. I know Mom and Dad does. They was right there with me when the guy pulled me in. But when we were leaving the Billy Graham Library and coming out, one of the staff members says, "Are all of you one church?" I said, "Well, not all of us. Part of us is, and the other group is kind of mixed in." I said, "Who's the pastor?" And I said, "I am." He said, "I'd like to pray with you. Is that okay?" We like to pray for our pastors. And they got a little prayer room. He pulled me back there. Now, you know, I'm very humble. I need all prayer I can get. Some pastors may not want it. That's fine. I want it. I need all of it. I said, "Sure." Little old man. Excuse me, I don't mean to be a little old man. You know what I mean? He was a senior citizen. And he pulled me back there in his little prayer room and said, "What do you want us to pray for?" I said, "Just pray that God, I just do what all God wants me to do. That's what I want. You know, I obey God." And he prayed with me. And I cried in that little room back there because it just meant so much that he reached out. A stranger, didn't know who I was at all, to take time to pray, call me by name in his prayer, and prayed with me. He was serving. He was serving in a powerful way. Each one of us have something we give to God. I go back to Joe Brown's invitation to David Messick in that Best Buy in Mooresville. And do you have them on Facebook, Sharon? You or Joe have David's family on Facebook? Okay, I need to send him a friend request. You need to follow that family because they left here just two of them, remember? Now there's six of them. They got four kids, yeah. And but Joe Brown asked this young man, David. Now, once again, Dave was a young man in his early 20s. He looked like most 20-year-olds look. And here's this Ohio stonked Baptist Yankee standing there in Best Buy, sees this young man, he's talking to him, says, "You got a church you go to? Well, come to our church." "Well, where's it at?" And they came. Him and his wife came, and they served, and she helped sing, and they were part of the church for several years until they moved back to Kansas. And now they have four kids, and they're very involved in the church out there and still serving God. All that because Joe Brown used a gift. What was the gift he used? An invitation. Just an invitation. "I know who my Savior is, and I wonder if this guy knows who the Savior is. Do you have a church you go to? Want to come?" And it was just beautiful, that story. I think about that. So we all are used in so many different ways. And it's all gifts are important. All of them have to work together. It's kind of like a team, right? The body's a team. Not one player can win the game. It has to be a team effort. A running back can't gain any yards. The offensive line's not blocking. You know, quarterback can't throw a pass if the offensive line is not blocking. If they need a field goal and that kicker, all his job is, his only role, his uniform clean the whole game. All he's got to do is kick a ball. He don't get punched. He don't get tackled. His job is to go out and kick and get that 3 points. He can make or break the whole game. It's a team. Military is a team. It's a team. It's a joint cohesiveness of people working together, each one bringing their skill and their talent. All aren't called to be preachers in a pulpit. All aren't called to be evangelists. All aren't called to work with kids. All aren't called to, you know, be a secretary of a church. All aren't called to lead a seniors ministry or a youth group. But all of us are called to serve in some way. In some way, we are to serve. And so Paul's talking to the church of Corinth about let's get busy for the work of God because a lot more can be accomplished together than anyone by ourselves. Let's look at verse 8. "For one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, but it's the same spirit." So many folks get caught up, especially in more of the charismatic circles, of all these gifts. And, well, that one's important because they prophesy in the Spirit, or they teach, or they do this. My gift doesn't get seen. My gift doesn't matter. You know, there's been times I've called my grandmother up here to pray for people. I have a whole body of church. I picked this little old lady, my little granny. I'm being nice. That's very loving. Out of all the people in the church, who do I go to? My grandma. Many times I motion for her. I feel drawn for her to put her hands on someone to pray for them because I know the gift my grandmother has of breaking through the veil. And everybody can't do that. Everybody can't break through the veil. But I know my grandma can. And so I have confidence that when she prays with someone, it's not about her. It's not about going through the routine. It's about letting, as Roddy said earlier, letting the Holy Spirit take over and do the work that needs to be done. So I trust that. So each gift is vitally important. You know, we've got our fall festival coming up October 30th, which is a Friday, and Randy's going to bring the sign-up sheet. We're going to need volunteers for that like we did last year. And I You know, several of you did volunteer last year. You helped the kids with the games inside, and I appreciate that, and we need that. We need that help. You know, we got a large enough body, there should never be an issue to get people to help step up on events we have. So be looking for that and see if you can, you know, be a part of helping out for a couple hours that night, either setting up beforehand, breaking down afterhands, or working during the event. But all those are critical part of ministry. To another by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Let me talk about healing for a minute. Thanks for the water. Sorry, guys, Kleenex. I've been fighting a bad, I've not been feeling good at all the last 2 days. Mel tried to get me to call in tonight. I said, I can't. I got to do this. Well, I know, but I just didn't have it prepared. Let me talk about healing for a minute. We tend to think of healing as being just the physical healing. But there are people that have the gift of bringing spiritual healing and emotional healing. We call them sometimes counselors that can really bridge the gap between the past and the new future. That can help reverse the damage that the past has caused them and give them a new hope and bring healing. And everybody's not gifted, but some people are gifted to be able to talk to someone and help bring healing to their pain. If we would just step up, and like I said many times, all people want to know is that you care. They want to know that you care. You don't avoid them because they look different or act different or dress different or appear different. You don't avoid them for that reason. Like Rodney said, people are searching. That's why the substance abuse right now is rampant. I mean, everywhere. It's so rampant. We're seeing everyday articles here in our little Statesville town, are we not, about arrests for drug abuse. I mean, every day. Drug abuse. 16-year-old got charged setting a car on fire, breaking in two businesses, and had a stolen property on them. And I mean, 16, setting a car on fire here in Statesville. People are searching because they're not complete. And it's our job as Christians to help point them and show them what can complete them. We all have a ministry in our own way. And we all can bring healing in some way just by being a listening ear. There's times that Melanie will need to vent, and I'm not real good about sometimes listening. I understand that. I am a man by God's nature, and I just how I am. But I can tell when it's a moment she needs to really vent, and so I'll listen. And I won't interrupt her, and I'll just let her vent. And I hadn't said a word, and she'll tell me afterwards, says, thank you so much just for listening to me. That just really helped, just to listen. Without judging, without talking, without interrupting, without giving my pastoral advice, without giving my intelligent knowledge of life, without trying to give her an antidote or prescription, a spiritual prescription, just listen to her. Just hear her. Sometimes that's all people need. I want to be heard. They want to be validated. They want to know their problem matters. Their issue is real. Their battle concerns you. They got to know that. Because, you know, we go around, I mean, y'all thinking about Marjorie, they won't play the piano Sunday. Her husband Steve's fighting cancer. A young man in his early 50s fighting cancer. And they were in Winston today at one of the places getting him checked out, and his platelets are down. And, you know, he's just fighting. And I'm sitting there in my own mind thinking, as bad as I felt the last 2 days, I don't feel that bad. And I'm thankful for God's touch and God's blessings, and that how he needs prayer. He needs strength. He needs to know he's loved. He needs to know people are helping him fight for him when he's too weak to fight for himself. Each one of us can do that. Something Joe Brown told me years ago, and he still does it. Joe, it means so much to me. It really does. There's a side of Joe Brown many of you don't know. If you don't know the real Joe Brown, you need to go on a senior trip with us. Joe Brown's a hoot. He is really funny. But Joe says that every night since he's been a part of this church 13 years ago, he prays for me and my family and for the church family every night. You know how that touches me? To know that Joe is taking time to pray for me. You don't think that helps? Sure it helps. God honors that. Joe Brown's not in the spotlight in any ministry in this church, but yet he serves every day and use his gifts every day. So it's important to realize Find out what it is God wants us to give. Miss Sharon, been our teacher for, till just a few weeks ago, was one of our teachers since the start of the ministry almost. 12 years at least she was a teacher. All those years teaching those kids. I mean, she taught Ashley, or she started teaching when Ashley was just born. Now she's 13 years old. She's seen Ashley go from not being able to walk to not stop talking. I mean, she has seen a great transformation. And to think of all the service you've done, Sharon, all the years you've given to our children, who a lot of them aren't with us anymore, but they're still part of us. The Forrest that come back when he's home from the military. Katie, when she comes back and visits us. You know, we still got some of these young men and women that come back. And Sierra, when she's home from college, comes back here. My daughter's here. Mary Billings, you know, comes back. People that were little and younger when you were a teacher that are still going forward with the ministry. It's a beautiful thing. So our seeds aren't just wasting away. They're making a difference. They're making an impact. And each one of us has something to give. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, you may have the gift discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man separately, as he wills. He wants each of us to have different gifts. See, if all of us were pastors, that'd be kind of hard on Sunday mornings, wouldn't it? We'd be going like for 4 days. You know, if all of us were teachers of children and nobody being here to hear the word, if all of us cleaned the church, it'd take 3 minutes of your time. I mean, so each one has different gifts. Embrace and appreciate and cultivate the gifts God's given you and be proud of them, whatever that is. Be proud of them. You speak fluent Spanish, right? So, you know, a great gift that she could help the church with if he had a need of it is if I was trying to counsel or witness someone who did not speak English. And I say, Alex, I need to meet with someone and tell them about Jesus. I need you to sit with me and translate. What a great gift. And that's a great idea. I need to work on finding someone that doesn't speak English so we can tell them about Jesus. But what a great gift that will be. Can you imagine me being in my office talking to someone? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christo. Die por favor. I don't know, whatever. Then I say, he, you know, loves you very much. Usted love muy much. You know, whatever. It would be wonderful for her to have that gift to be able to help explain Jesus to someone that maybe didn't understand the gospel message. All of us have something we can give. I think about Tony, that when you was in that play, Tony, the Roman soldier, said we were doing our Easter play, how, you know, you stepped up and did that, and that meant a lot that you participated in that. And that was a great ministry. People saw the crucifixion message of Jesus Christ live. That was powerful. All of us have something we give. Shirley's got a sign ministry, which changed our sign out at the road. The sign you see, Shirley does that. And she came to me and says, you guess somebody does your sign? I said, yeah, me. Or, you know, I used to get Mary and Christian when they're gone now. And so I just don't get done because I just don't have anybody. I just don't get done. I'll do it. That's awesome. And someone told my dad, I think he told you this, someone told my dad the other day, that he reads that sign. He lives in the neighborhood and goes by the sign and he reads it. And Caroline, I know you read it. You said that. You read the sign when it's out there. People are seeing that. It's making a difference. When they go by that sign and see that all my hope's in Christ alone, wow. Think about the unbeliever going down the road, home from work, and sees that message sitting there for a month or, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. Christ, all my hope's in Christ alone. All my hope, every day, Monday through Friday, all my hope's in Christ alone. All my hope's in Christ alone. You don't know. They may never walk in these doors, may never know it impact their lives, but it may lead them to Christ being their only hope. May never see it, and that's okay. Don't need to see it. Just to know it could happen. All of us have something that we do. By the way, Joe and Gail, is it okay if I share this? The ministry? Joe and Gail, Joe come to me and says, if there's somebody in the hospital, let us know. We want to go visit them. They come to me with that. How wonderful. So, by the way, Beulah, unless she got out already, you need to call Ida Memorial and check. She is in the hospital, Beulah is. She's been there for a few days at Ida Memorial. But she may have got, I went and seen her Monday. So I've not heard since Monday. But you may want to call Iredale and just ask them, is Beulah Geddes still there? I'll get you a name, but she's in the hospital. But they volunteered. We want to go and just pray for people. That's a ministry. Can you imagine Beulah's face or any of your, how would you react? You're laying in bed, here comes Joe and Gail, and you couldn't help but laugh. I mean, you're laying there all sick, and here come these two men. Hey, we couldn't pray for you. Wow. There you go. Yeah. We pray for money. Say, work for money. Funny. But that's a ministry. All of us have something. And we need to use what God has given us. That really is what grows the church and the body and sharpens it. We start using what God gave us. Verse 12. For as the body, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, we are one body. So also is Christ. We're a team. We're all one. From the quiet one that never says anything to the one that won't be quiet. To the chronic testifier in church. To the shouter in church. To the church mouse. We're all one body. And we all have different roles and different functions. And if we each would follow the gifts God's given us and use them to the best of our abilities, it would sharpen the body, and it would sharpen our lives, and it would point people to the Lord. And it's all, we're one. I've always said that. This church is one covering, one body, one people. We serve one master. We're in one kingdom all together. And we all offer different things. Verse 13. For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We had our baptism. A few weeks ago, we baptized 14 people. To why? Each one of those baptized, they were baptized in the body of Christ. They weren't baptized into a living word. They weren't baptized into a denomination. They were baptized into the family of Jesus Christ. One body. Each background, each person, every race, every tongue, every, past, all came in that water, declaring and believing Jesus was their Lord. And they all were baptized into that body. And we gained fellow members that night. We gained new people of the kingdom. Doesn't matter how the outward part is, how the formality is done. It matters that our faith in Christ and Christ alone. That's what matters. Your children are different. If you got more than one child, they're different. Shelly and Tiffany are naturally really different, aren't they? Totally different. And they're only, 3 years apart or something? Totally different. We got three kids, and they're all totally, individually, completely different. All of them are. And you know what? They're part of one family, though. I'm sure your four girls are different in many ways. But they're all your family. They're all four girls. And they're all one. So, as Christians, we're going to be a little bit different. We're not all going to act like Joe Brown. We're not going to act like Tony Cook or Rodney Forbes. We're not going to act like Melanie Lewis or Jeremy in the corner. We're all going to be different, but we're all one body. And each one of us have something special that we can bring. In my three kids, I see gifts. I see different gifts in all three of them. Different gifts and different talents in all three of them. And they're all special. They're all important, and all three of them will impact their world with their gifts and whatever they choose to do. One's not more important than the other. You may have a kid that acts better than the others. You may have a kid you like better than the others, but you ain't got a kid you love more than the others. Next verse. For the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not the body? I love how Paul takes something so simple to give us an example. Some of us, nobody here would probably want to be a foot. Feet just aren't, a foot, right? We think about a foot being not a real desirable part of the body, especially for men. Men's feet ain't pretty. Now, women can have pretty feet, but men's feet ain't pretty. We got these big old feet and these old nasty, feet ain't that pretty. Got the calluses on the bottom of them, and they're, Anyway, feet. But you know what? I'm glad I got two of them. I don't go around, me and Melanie walk in a mall together holding feet. We hold hands. But I sure am glad I got that foot. And though it may not be as pretty as my hands, you know, my hands, nails are trimmed, smooth skin, no calluses. Pretty nice hands. Don't you think? Pretty nice hands. Anyway, these hands are no more important than my feet. Without my feet, I can't walk. And so what Paul is saying is you may think you're a foot, but you're as much part of the body as if you were a hand. There's no big or little. It's all working together. And each one has a role in God's work. Each one of us have a work. Then he goes on to say, if the ear should say, I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is therefore I'm not of the... No. We got eyes and we got ears. And we need both of them. Well, all four of them. But we need them. Each one plays a critical part. Yes, seeing is a beautiful thing, but also hearing is a beautiful thing. Melanie loves hearing that ocean tide come in. I know you love seeing it too, but you can still hear it because she's asleep most of the time, so she ain't seeing it. She's like a, you know, conked out. I'll be nice. I won't say what Jamie said. She was out there on the beach. Jamie said, like a beach whale, Mama. She's out there on the sand. Just but even with her eyes closed, she can hear it. I guarantee she's glad she got ears. So just because you're an ear or an eye doesn't mean you're less important. You're all part of the body. Then he goes on to say, if the whole body were an eye, where'd the hearing come from? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling come from? We each can't have the same role or it wouldn't accomplish anything. Once again, let's go back to something we all can relate to, a football team. What if you had 11 quarterbacks out there? That's it. Nobody can catch the ball. Nobody can run the ball. Nobody can block anybody. Nobody can kick. I mean, you've got 11 quarterbacks, or you've got 11 running backs, or you've got 11 wide receivers. Who's going to throw it to them? You've got to have different roles. And each of those roles are, it's kind of like husbands and wives. Here's a news flash to the world, to married couples. Men and women are supposed to be different. They're supposed to be. You just don't understand me. No, I don't. To women, we are shallow. We're not deep at all. Oh, we just don't hear properly. If we got a remote control and a cheeseburger, we're happy. It's all we need. We're dogs and women are cats. Dogs are simple. Women are so complex. And we're not supposed to understand. That's why God made us different. That's why God made women with the emotional state that they're in. It brings a balance to families. It brings a balance to marriage. It brings a balance to life. You know, we have men who normally, I'm not saying all men, so no women start getting your feminist act up. I'm just saying, in most cases, men are not as detailed and usually think a little more in a practical sense. Whereas a woman is much more detailed and goes much further than a man wants to go. And you have a conversation with your wife. Ours are very brief. Your wife be talking to you about something. And I get mail all the time like, just get the end. I just want to hear the end. That's all I care about. I don't care about the content. You had a good day at work. She hit you with a frying pan and you're suing her. That's all I need to hear. I don't need to hear anything in between. And that's kind of how we are. How's your day? It's good. Anything happen? No, not really. Sometimes we'll talk, but I'm just saying it's different. And we're supposed to be different. If me and Melanie both had the same gifts and the same qualities, it would be imbalanced. Our kids would be freaked out. I mean, if they had two daddies or two mamas, and I'm not talking about in that sense. I'm talking about in the sense of nature. If me and Melanie were so much alike that our discipline was the same, our attitude was the same, our patience level was the same, but we always balance each other out. Through the years when our kids were little, one was beginning to get out of control, the other one always would pull us back. What was dangerous is when we both out of control at the same time. The kids were really in trouble when we both got on fire at the same time. But luckily, we'd balance each other out. And it's supposed to be that way. Same way spiritually. We're not going to all be the same, act the same, have the same gifts. But all of them, church, are equally important to growing the body and growing the kingdom. You got to find out what it is that God's given you to use. Because we all got something. We all got something we can use to benefit his kingdom if we're his children, if we've been saved. We got something. But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. God has set the body in the way it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? But we're not one member. We're many members, yet we're one body. So let's use another example. Engine in a car has many parts. And all those parts are important to create the engine to run. All we see when you open the hood, maybe, is that big old, what do you call it, manifold on top or whatever. As you see the big piece. But there's all, is that not what it's called? Okay, thank you. But that's so many things around that manifold, underneath that manifold, that are critical to making that car run. There's so many things that if it goes out, if something, you know, if you got a six-cylinder car and one plug goes bad, boy, you can tell. Just one plug out of six goes bad. You run on five spark plugs, it starts jerking on you. You get one plug gone. Makes that much of a difference. Or a bad plug wire out of all them wires. I've been there. I know. One plug wire. You drive like a 19, you know, like you're driving back in the Waltons again, one of them cars. I mean, it's that bad. You got one plug missing. Everything has to work. You got a dead battery. Ain't going to run. You got that nice big old engine, that 350. Brand new engine spanking. You got the chrome, got it polished. It's looking pretty, boys. It's ready to go to a car show. When you crank it, it sounds like it's vroom, vroom. I mean, it's deep. But if that battery's dead, you ain't going to hear no rum run. You got to get a battery first. And batteries are boring. They're not very manly. A battery's not pretty. Nothing fancy. It doesn't go run. It doesn't do anything good. But you got to pay $120 for it to run. And so when it goes out, you got to go get one. Battery can kill everything. There's the same way spiritually. Some of you are batteries. Some of you are spark plugs. Some of you are water pumps. Some of you are radiators. You know, some of you are belts and whatever. All of that is necessary to run. We went on interstate years ago in a minivan, the van from hell we called it, our Airstar. I think it was that one. We're going down 77. All of a sudden, the car just stops running. The van just stops. Had one of them big serpentine belts, you know, the one long belt. Well, it snapped. We're done. Belt snapped. Come off. That one little belt controlled the whole running of that vehicle. One belt. I mean, that's how it works. So when our belt snaps, it can affect the whole body. When our plug goes out, it can affect the whole body. When you're a dead battery here on Sunday mornings, it can affect the whole body. Each one of us has something, and we should come in and find out, what are we? Maybe we should do it. Maybe on Wednesday we could do that. Pass around the car. What car part are you? That would be very interesting to see what you identify with. What car part would you be, Joe Brown, do you think? The what? Camshaft. That would be very interesting. It really would. There you go. That'd be interesting. But anyway, that's how we are spiritually. We're many parts, but we're one running machine, the church. The eye cannot say the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head say the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, in other words, the gifts we think nobody notices. Nobody notices I'm not here. Nobody cares if I'm not here. Duh, 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 duh. Get me some bottle of cheese and bottle of cheese and wine. Yeah, the violin. Nobody knows how troubled I am. I mean, look, yes, you're missed. You're missed when you're not here. You're missed by the body. You're missed by others. People ask me all the time. People are out. Where's so-and-so been? Where's so-and-so been? Where's so-and-so been? You know, reach out and call them. Reach out and say, hey, where you been? I mean, just ask them. I miss you. I missed you in church. Everything okay? And, you know, I want you to get back in the body. How inspiring would it be if somebody called besides the pastor to check on somebody and ask them, are you okay? They won't expect me to call. They get mad if I don't call. So they expect me to call. But, man, can you imagine Joe Brown calls or Gail calls somebody up? You know, hey, where you been? I've been missing you at church. Like, I didn't know you knew my name. Oh, yeah, I know your name. You sit in the third row from the left, you know, in the corner of the church. I mean, I know who you are. Where you been? It's important. Each one of us has something we can offer. It may be something simple as picking up the phone, letting them know we miss them, we love them, and, you know, is everything okay? And you may be surprised what that'll do for a person. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts, have more abundant comeliness. In other words, as we invest in the things we think are less important, they become more important, and people see those gifts more as we invest in those gifts. Because you don't realize that the little things that we do for people really does. I know my grandma was great about sending cards to people. She'll send a card to someone if they've been out. She does do that. She'll send a card. If they're in a hospital or sick on her own, the church doesn't do that. Grandma does that on her own from her little kitchen there, writes that card, fills it out. Gladys Minton, thinking about you, praying for you to get better, stamps it, puts it in the mail. That's a ministry. Oh, it's a ministry. It's so important for those little things that we think seem, would anybody miss it? Oh, yeah, you're serving God in a mighty way, in a great way. So don't worry about having to be the big cheese. Just be the cheese, period. It's like me. I love cheese. Ain't no cheese I don't like. You can bring me any kind of cheese. I like Colby. I like Colby Jack. I like Monterey. I like Swiss. I like cheddar. I like American. I like blue. I like Brie. I like pimento. I like cottage. I like any kind of cheese. There ain't no cheese I've ever tasted I don't like, I don't think. I love going to that cheese store in Jefferson, Ash Cheese. They have the little simple bowls in there. I'll make 2 or 3 rounds, you know, when it gets busy. Go back in. I love it. I love Pepper Jack, Hot Jack. I love it all. I love Gouda. I mean, there ain't no cheese I don't like. So that's what we are. We're cheese. Just be the cheese. Ain't going to be the big cheese. Just be the cheese to someone. And do what God's called you to do, whatever that is. Years ago, Joe Brown went door knocking with me and some other guys. That was something we did in the early years of my ministry. We'd go door knocking and invite people to church, and that was so meaningful. We'd take a few hours on Saturday to go do that, and that worked on some people. We got some families here through that, actually. And you never know. Amy Daniels, the Daniels family, moved back to West Virginia. They came for several years here. They moved back to West Virginia. Why, don't ask me. But they moved back to West Virginia, and they were here for years. And you know what happened? I don't know if it's me or Joe, me and somebody, I can't remember who it was, knocked on their door. They lived over here around the corner, down off 21. Knocked on the door, says, "I'm James, the pastor of Living Word Ministries. We got a church around the corner. Just want to invite you." Gave him a little brochure. "If you don't have a church, love to have you." You know what she said? She said, "We've been looking for a church since we moved here from West Virginia. Hadn't found one yet that we really feel comfortable in. And I prayed last night God would show me a sign of where to go. Just last night. And here you knock on my door and hand me a brochure." I said, "I think that's God talking to me." And they came and they connected and stayed for years with us. All that because of just serving, just using a gift of service to God, talking, handing a brochure, inviting, reaching out, loving. It's all it takes. Doesn't take much. Just takes an effort. Planting a seed. "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, hath given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Each one of us are as important to God as the other. Whether you're a foot, you're an ear, you're an eye, you're a toenail, you're an elbow, so to speak, figuratively, each one of us is equal in the eyes of God. Each one has an equal part. Each one is cared for as much. Each one has an equal purpose if we'll use it to the glory of God. He will bless it. He will take our gift and bless it. "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer." Remember when Ledger had her terrible wreck, how we all suffered with her? I mean, that impacted our whole church. I'm so proud of my wife for calling that prayer meeting that week. I was in Oklahoma, and she was here. We were doing a tag team effort together. And I was so proud of how she got the church together and rallied all of you. And y'all prayed and had that prayer meeting for Lindra, and how God turned that situation around, what could have been devastating for Bruce and those kids, and turned it into a testimony and a glory for God. All of you came together as one body, see, because when one suffers, we all should feel that. And man, when one gets a healing or rejoices, we all also should celebrate that. Because we're one, we should be excited that our team had a victory. And we should be sad when our team has a defeat. "With all members being honored and all the members rejoice with it." We should mourn or rejoice together. "Now you are the body of Christ and you are members in particular." Each one has an assignment. "God has set some of the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps." Helps a big category. "Governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Of course not. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. God wants us to seek how to be used by Him. You know, I'm really proud of our senior ministry. I'm really proud of my mom and Anna. First year we started this ministry, and, you know, mom put these two women in my heart to go talk to. And I thought that would be, maybe a good tag team. Mom would be she's got a lot of past experience with putting events together, social events, stuff like that. Anna has a very deep understanding of the Word of God. And so I thought it'd be a good combination of having these two women together. And I went to talk to Anna about it. She, you know, immediately was honored and, you know, said, I would love to talk to mom. Yes, I want to do it. And I'm really proud of that because that is really became a ministry within the ministry. And I'm excited about that. I mean, we had a wonderful time Thursday. I went only because I drove the van. So normally I don't hang out with the older folks, but I drove the van down to Charlotte. But I had a wonderful time. It was beautiful seeing the fellowship of the people come together. And it was just, it was wonderful. And it's making a difference. And if we realize that the seeds we sow, no matter how small they may seem, the seeds we sow are going to grow. They are going to grow. Sharon, there are kids, they'll never forget you being a Sunday school teacher. They'll grow up as adults, and they'll tell their kids, I went to a church, no matter where they're living, where they're going at that time. I had a little sweet teacher back in my church, my Sunday school teacher, Miss Sharon. She loved teddy bears, and she was so short and cute and sweet and soft-voiced. And she taught me about Jesus and told me all these stories about Noah and Lion's Den and Daniel. And she taught. They're going to remember that. They're going to remember. I remember my Sunday school teacher as a kid. I remember them. I had one. I remember LC at the old church on Fifth Street. Remember LC. And then I remember I had Billy Carr, and then I had Dwight Hamilton. I remember my Sunday school teachers when I was a kid and teenager. I remember those teachers. So you're leaving a great impact. And each of us are leaving an impact in whatever ministry we do. Just do it to your best ability. Just do it. And just step out and say, God, I want to use the gifts you give me. I want to use it. We all got something we can do. So I am going to need some volunteers coming up at the end of the month for our event. So be thinking about that and helping Randy out with that. He needs that. We're going to need some more. We need a little bit more teaching as well. Which we'll post some things about that too. A few more people to help out with the kids as we're growing that and dividing that up a little more. So be praying if God can use you in that capacity and help him to shape someone. That's why Christian wants to be a school teacher, my daughter, because she says, I want to help shape those lives, those little lives, you know. And they do. I mean, think about a teacher, especially those early years, teaching your kids how to read, you know, read and do math and write. Wow, they get that the rest of their lives. So, plant a seed, it'll grow to a tree, I guarantee you. Just some takes more time than others. But keep planting, keep serving, keep giving. Watch what God will do with that. I thank God that we have the ability to serve our Creator. It's a beautiful thing to serve God. Anybody got any comments or things before we close out?